Okay. Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Laid behind the stone, you lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all. Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Laid behind the stone, you lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all. Laid behind the stone, you lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all. Good morning. I know we're a minute or so early, but I always say better early than late, right? So we got a lot to do today. I just have a couple of announcements here this morning. First is that we do have the Lord's Supper today. As the tables are up here, you probably have noticed. And we do have open communion here, so you are welcome to partake if you're visiting with us today. And I'll give more instruction when we come to that time of the Lord's Supper. I also want to make mention, there's not a lot of details in the bulletin. I didn't have it quite yet when these got printed, but we are planning to do a marriage seminar again. You see the date is on a Sunday afternoon, late afternoon and evening, February 21st. We'll be starting probably 4 or 4:30, and will be supper catered. So there is a sign-up sheet out there in the narthex, and hopefully we have a good turnout of couples. Whether you're engaged or married, you're welcome to attend. The other thing I want to mention is we're coming up in the Lenten season, the 17th of February, so not this Wednesday, but the next is Ash Wednesday, and as we've done the last 3 or 4 years or so, I've had the high school students help me with that service, which we're planning again, and they'll be doing the special music. So put that on your calendars, please. There's a lot of other announcements. I'm not going to read them because that's why we have the bulletin. So let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that you have made. Lord, it's a fresh, bright, crisp, very crisp morning outside. But we're thankful that we live here where we do. And you blessed us, Father, with a wonderful month of January. And this is part of winter as it comes. But we're so grateful, Lord, for a beautiful sanctuary to come and worship you, where it's warm and cozy, and your presence is here with us most of all. And we are here to exalt you, Father, as the Ancient of Days. We are here to worship you, Jesus, as the King of Kings, and thank you that you are the one who knew no sin, yet you became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. You are above all, as we just sang those words, above all powers and kings and all of nature and all created things. You're over all kingdoms. Jesus, your name is above all. And we bow our hearts and our knees to the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. So thank you for filling this sanctuary with your presence and your glory and your goodness and touching lives and hearts here today. Lord, whatever the week was, thank you for ministering to each one here. Whatever the week will be, you already know. Thank you for pouring out your Spirit in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Our opening hymn is number 45. Let's stand together as we sing this. Number 45, Crown Him with Many Crowns. With many crowns, the Lamb upon His throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Awake my soul and sing of Him who died for thee, and hail Him as thy matchless King through all eternity. Crown Him the Lord of love, behold His hands, His side. Rich wounds yet visible above, in beauty glorified. All hail Redeemer, for Thou hast died for me. Thy praise and glory shall not fail throughout eternity. Crown Him the Lord of life,
victorious in the strife for those he came to save. His glories now we sing, who died and rose on high, who died eternal life to bring, and lives that death may die. Crown him the Lord of heaven, one with the Father known, one with the Spirit through him given from yonder glorious throne. To thee be endless praise, for thou hast died for thou, O Lord, through endless days, adored and magnified.
Amen. And so he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Give each other an air high five or however you want to greet before you're seated. We'll have our sharing of joys and concerns. I don't have too much written down here, just a couple things. One, prayers for Shirley Mettler. She was spent most of the day Friday, early morning until night in the Yankton Hospital with a kidney stone. So they put a stent in on Friday evening, and she's at home waiting for that to pass now. So we pray that, as she said, this too shall pass. Yes, it will. Our one-act play from the high school here, Menno, they were at State yesterday, Brookings, and as far as I know, there's no answers for that yet. Is that correct? Till Tuesday or something, somebody had said. So, but they made it to State, so congratulations to them. Otherwise, I think, Marina, did you have something you were going to share?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So praise the Lord, God is alive and he's working.
Amen. Amen. That's exciting. For maybe in the back, I don't know if you heard or not, but Marina, I'll just give a shorter version. Marina has a friend who's not a believer, and that friend has a friend, right? Got that? That had shingles real bad around the eye. This is a week ago, Friday. Doctor said it's very serious, might even lose her sight in the eye. And so this friend of Marina's called her for prayer, and Marina prayed, and that Monday was her appointment, this last Monday, and it was totally gone, no treatment or anything. The shingles were gone, so praise the Lord. Amen. Right, right, for her unbelieving friend to see the power of God at work. That's awesome. Thank you. Anybody over here? Okay, Emma Lynn. Kristen Heckenleibel is going to have her baby this Thursday. All right. Praise the Lord. We pray that that all goes well. All right, Johnny.
My wife had a big birthday last Wednesday.
Lori Whale had a big birthday this last Wednesday. Happy birthday to Lori. All right. Anybody else over here? Okay, over here, Cindy Herbold. Yes, Abby and Robert Shanefish had birthdays Friday and Saturday, right? Is that correct? Happy birthday to both of you. Okay, anybody else? Oh, Chris.
It was Jennifer Stock's birthday Friday.
Jennifer Stock had a birthday on Friday. Happy birthday to you. All right. Okay. Ann Ramus's birthday might be just today. Happy birthday. And there was another one too. Who was it? I even texted him this morning. Your birthday's going to be in March? All right. Good. Okay. Let's bow our heads, please. Heavenly Father, thank you that we get to share birthdays and anniversaries and the joy and excitement of that. The joy of a baby being born this week on Thursday, the plan is for Kristen Heckenleibel. Thank you for bringing her through these 9 months, Lord. And I pray that this will go well. And I pray for the others, Lord. We have others within the congregation who have little ones within the womb. And we just praise you, Father, for your power at work as you knit these little ones together. Be with the mothers, the expectant mothers. Give them strength through this time. Be with the husbands too, of course. And we just thank you, Lord, for when the time comes that we will rejoice to see these little ones. Lord, for Marina, what an amazing praise report that she has to share. And we pray for her friend. You know her by name, Lord. You know how to reach her. You know how to break through. And by your power, miracle-working power is certainly one of those ways. And so, Lord, as you've got her attention, we pray for open doors for her salvation. We stand against the deception of the enemy who tries to blind the eyes of those who do not believe. Lord, you are greater than all, and we thank you for it. We lift up Shirley Mettler as she's waiting for a kidney stone to pass. And Lord, we pray that that can happen sooner rather than later. Thank you for being with her, watching over her, touching her with your healing hand, Lord, in Jesus' name. For our one-act play group here at the high school, thank you for the talents that you give to them in so many ways. And we thank you for them being able to go to state in that performance. Lord, we pray for certainly always our nation. We continue to lift our nation up on a daily basis, asking for healing, asking for the outpouring of your Spirit upon us, asking for revival to this land, for hearts to be changed by the Spirit of the living God. We thank you, Lord, for our troops as they serve so faithfully here at home and abroad, that you guard and keep them and bless them. We're grateful for their service, Lord. I want to pray for our highway workers as they're out on all hours of the night and day in rough conditions. We pray that you keep them safe through this winter season especially. For those that are starting the calving and lambing, Lord, be with them. Be with the livestock in this very frigid, frigid temperatures. And we pray for a good calving and lambing season. We thank you for these things, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we do the offering part, I'd like to ask the consistory to come forward, please. So if you gentlemen want to come, and we'll just, maybe you know them all, maybe you don't, but we'll give the introductions. We're nine here, except minus Shirley, so maybe the elders can be on this side. Yeah, deacons can line up over here. Now, don't they look sharp today? I think you better give them a hand just for being in their suits. We won't mention some of the grumping, okay, but no. So this is the consistory, and so Mark Anderson and Ben Crick, Steve Huber, Matt Fisher, Tyler Miller. Tyler's new on this year, so welcome, Tyler. Five deacons, and then four of our five elders are here, Justin Plooster, and Steve Pressler, Ken Stepanik. He served as a deacon probably when we were first here, I suppose, and now he's as an elder, and David Herbolt, and then Shirley Mettler would be. So Shirley Mettler and Jennifer Herbolt are the co-treasurers together. Let me have a prayer. Father, thank you for these men standing here, for Shirley, who's not able to be here today. I just lift them up to you. Thank you, Lord, for their willingness to serve you and this local church in this way. I ask for your anointing upon them, for the Spirit of God to work mightily within them as you guide and direct us, as we, Lord, we do our best to honor you, Jesus, as head of the church. And so thank you for them and their families. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You can be seated. I'm going to read from Romans chapter 5, verse 8. A simple verse, but very powerful. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Praise the Lord. Let's stand and we'll sing the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Father, we do praise you. So we bring our offerings and our tithes into this storehouse, this local church. We're not just dropping money in a box, Lord. This is an act of worship. As we give of ourselves to you, freely and joyfully, not grudgingly, not out of necessity, but willingly, cheerful givers. Thank you for the strength and health you give us that allows us to work. Thank you for the jobs that you provide us with and wisdom to do all of those things according to your will. Lord, let this be multiplied for the work of your kingdom. We pray in Jesus' name. And we pray together the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The children can come, please. Did you want to stand?
Yeah, you want to stand? Okay. Please. I know. No, not yet. Not yet. Not yet. Let's go up here. Shh, about that, okay? That's probably higher. Well, good morning, boys and girls. How are you all today? Good. It's good to see everybody. Here comes some more. Come on up. Well, I decided today that I would like to do some fishing. So what do I need to have to go fishing? Tell me one thing.
Bait.
What's bait?
Worms.
What else? Aria, do you have an answer? What do I need to go fishing?
You need a fishing rod.
You need a fishing rod. Good job. Like plastic bait. Bait doesn't have to just be real worms. It could be, what do they call the other things? Lures. There we go. Let's see why I want to go fishing. I don't know how. I need a fishing line. I need a net. To pull in the fish, right? Right, all these things. Well, I think it would be a really good time to go fishing. So I thought, you know why I think it's a good thing to go fishing? You can go ice fishing. Actually, I don't think that would be very fun. That's not high on my bucket list. Freezing, sitting there. But if it's out in the lake, I'd like to do that. You know why? Because Jesus liked fishing. Yeah, I'm serious. He liked fishing. Do you know how I know? It's in the Bible, right? It says here, Jesus said in Matthew 4, in verse 19, he said, let me get it here. Whoa, 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 whoa. He said, Jesus said to some disciples, to Peter and Andrew, he said, come and follow me. Jesus said that. Come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And that means fishers of women and fishers of boys and girls. So, you know, that kind of sounds funny, huh? We're going to go fishing? So I thought I would bring my fishing pole. You're right. I got it here. My Frozen 2 fishing pole, because we needed something to go fishing with, right? So Jesus says here, if you follow me, I'm going to make you fishers of people, right? So we should try it, right? Let's see if there's a child over here. We'll just try. Let's see if I can fish for any kids over here, okay? Think I should try? Woo! Oh, no, not any kids over there. That didn't work. Oh, look, I just have my lure. Maybe I should try up there. What do you think? Should I try up there? Oh, you guys are, oh my gosh, look at that. Let me see, is there any kids over there in the corner? Oh, no, there is not. See, I'm getting pretty good. I've been practicing this for 2 days. Okay, you think I should try to find some fish out there? I won't. I won't. I'll get in trouble. Well, do you know what? Is that what Jesus was talking about? Using a real fishing pole, or back in Jesus' day, they used a net. Is that what he meant? To get a net and throw it on you and bring you in? No, that's not what he meant. He meant, come and follow me and learn about me, and I will tell you about God. Do you know that Jesus loves you?
Yeah.
Yeah, he does. Do you know that Jesus died on the cross for you? This is how he wants you to be fishers of men and boys and girls. He wants you to know, do you know that you are so special that God made you? Yeah, you know that, right? This is how you are fishers of friends. You tell somebody, hey, Jesus loves you. Do you want to come to church?
Yes.
Oh, yes. He's like, yes. That's what Jesus meant. Do you know that Jesus hears your prayers when you pray? Yeah. That if you feel all alone, all you have to do is talk to him, just like we're talking, right? That's what it means to be fishers of friends. You tell him all about Jesus, right? That's what he means. So you guys are in school or you're at home. You can tell all your friends about Jesus, okay? You can pray for them too, like, hey, I'm sorry you got hurt the other day. Can I pray with you? You know? And it can be an easy prayer. Jesus helped them. All right? So what does it mean to be fishers of people? Tell them about Jesus. Tell them about God. Tell them all that God has done in the Bible. All right. So you're going to pray a prayer after me, and then I've given in your folders you're going to get this prayer, okay? So you're going to pray after me, all right? Ready? Thank you for the love of Jesus. Help us to follow him, God. And know what that means. Help us to share his love with one another. Thank you that we can be Jesus' disciples too. Thank you for your love. We love you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Next time you see a fishing pole, remember, maybe one of you will invite me. You can get your papers now. You'll invite me and teach me how to fish, right?
Thank you, Anne. When Rachel was that age and we were at Timber Lake, they had a fishing derby and Rachel had a little Tweety Bird fishing pole. And she was just bringing them in one after the other. We'll be in the book of Acts chapter 4 in just a moment as the children go back to their seats. Acts chapter 4. Praise the Lord for the little ones. They are a blessing. Okay, let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you. Lord, you said, let the little ones come unto you and forbid them not, for as such is the kingdom of God. We thank you for their childlike faith, for their trust, their hearts that are wide open to you and your word. And I pray that ours would be the same, Lord, that we are eager to listen to your word this morning. We're eager to look into it when we're at home and throughout the week. As you give us instruction, as we see your power at work in so many ways. And so, Lord, as I always ask, I pray that you would speak through me once again this day to those gathered here. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Acts chapter 4, so Acts chapter 3 and 4 go together, both chapters. So later today, maybe you can read those at home. I'm not going to take the time to read through all of that. So, but just on Acts chapter 3 is when this man, crippled from birth, and now he's 40 years old, is laid every day by one of the gates into the temple asking for money. And Peter and John come upon him. Peter says, I don't have any silver or gold, but what I have, let me give to you. Takes him by the hand, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. And he was instantly healed. So that's what's happening here in chapter 4, where we're going to pick up. Peter's given a sermon again. Last week we were in Acts chapter 2, saw the part of the sermon he gave. So Acts chapter 4, verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and everyone else in Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you completely healed. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and then conferred together. What are we going to do with these men? They asked. Everybody living in Jerusalem knows that they have done an outstanding miracle, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn these men to speak no longer to anyone in this name. Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, Judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. After further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. Amen. An amazing miracle. I've been on this, the last three, four Sundays. The theme is we preach Jesus. In the midst of the craziness of the world that as it can get at times, in the midst of the uncertainty of situations, countries, nations, and on, the one who never changes, as we know, we should know, is Jesus. Hebrews says, Jesus Christ is the same what? Yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same. He is the rock upon whom we stand. He is our anchor. So we go to him. He is who we preach. Paul said it as we started a couple weeks back. He said, we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves your servant for Jesus' sake. So to turn a nation, as we've been talking here, there must be a heart change within. By a heart change, I'm talking being born again by the Spirit of God. Receiving Christ as Lord and Savior, there has to be this change within. Then, on a large scale, we call it a great awakening or revival. Peter, last Sunday, we were in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. He's preaching. He says, therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, who you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Lord, meaning he is God. Christ, meaning he is the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Savior of the world. That's who he is. And so we know at that time they were cut to the heart, Acts chapter 2 says. Remember? What did they say? What should we do? And what was Peter's answer? Repent. Repent was his answer. So today, Acts chapter 4, as I said, 3 and 4, chapters Acts 3 and 4 go together. So what's Peter preaching? He's still preaching Jesus. This, you know, we're not totally sure how long later Acts chapter 3 is from 2. It just says some time later when Peter and John were going to the temple. Here's this guy. He had been sitting there every day. Maybe they moved him to different gates. There's many gates going into the temple in Jerusalem. But this day was going to be different for this guy. Remember, Peter and John, they are now filled with the Holy Spirit of God, filled with a boldness that they never had before. And they just approach him, right? And so we see his power working in that way. First of all, as this man is healed, there's all these just ordinary people looking on. Peter starts telling them about Jesus, and he says the same thing. You've got to repent. The same thing. He ministers to them. And then we come. Listen, in Acts chapter 4, verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, I read this to you. Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this. You and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified. He keeps telling them that. These are the same ones that put Jesus on the cross. So he's risking a lot here. This stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, NIV says. I like Amplified. It says it has become the chief cornerstone. So what's a cornerstone? We in buildings today, you know, it's different now than the time of Christ. Today a cornerstone, like the cornerstone of this church, is more just a figurative block. When you go out the front of the church and it's there against the building. That's the cornerstone. Does that mean everything was measured off of that to build this whole place? No, of course not. But in this time, when that first stone was laid, the cornerstone, as the definition says there, it says the cornerstone is the supreme foundation stone governing the structure of the entire building. All other stones will be set in reference to this stone. And that is Jesus Christ. He is the chief cornerstone. And all of our lives are built upon him. And we should know that. So, it's always been, from day one when Jesus appeared on the earth, Satan was always trying to take him out, destroy him, kill him, but we know he couldn't until Jesus allowed it to happen. So, and then you read through the book of Acts, the eighth graders are reading through it now in confirmation. These religious, the Pharisees, Sadducees, they are always trying to stop the name of Jesus from being preached, from being spread, and they are having no success. So when we think about that, should we think it's strange today that that has not changed? In many ways, public universities, you hear, you know, graduations, commencements. If there's a prayer offered, almost always, if it's a secular university, listen, when you close that prayer, you cannot pray in the name of Jesus. The devil hates the name of Jesus because that is where the power lies, in his name. So Peter's preaching, filled with the Holy Spirit. Last Sunday, I showed in the sermon of Acts 2, there were three times he went back to the Old Testament scripture. Today, he's quoting directly from Psalms 118, verse 22. When he says that, he is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the chief cornerstone. So Peter, the thing interesting, he wasn't preaching against Rome. Corrupt as they were, cruel as they were, with the bondage that they had Israel in at that time, no, he was preaching Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. What's the answer? Jesus, right? And standing his ground against persecution. I was thinking back to a time, some of you know this, but I think it's been a long time since I've told this account, but Navajo woman in our church out there, she was actually my Navajo mom, came to be, and her son, her adult son, had gotten in this fight up at Page, Arizona, and just was beat terribly. I mean, he kicked in the head so that the top, you know, there's all these little bones came down on his brain. And then, so of course, he was in Flagstaff, in the hospital, unconscious. Lily, my Navajo mom, strong in the Lord, very strong believer. Her mother, elderly grandmother, was very much in all the traditional side of the Navajo religion. So Lily's in the hospital with her son. I'd go visit. I wasn't there the time this happened, but I was there shortly after. Lily's mother, the grandma of the guy who's unconscious, she shows up at the hospital and says to Lily, I'm going to cut off some of Kenneth, that was the son who got beat up, I'm going to cut off some of his hair and take it to the medicine man, and we're going to do ceremony on him. And Lily said, you are not doing that. We are trusting in Jesus. Our faith is in him. And no, you're not doing it. And then the grandma said, then I want a picture of him. Lily said, no, I'm not giving you a picture of him either. You're not doing that stuff over my son. So she left. Anyway, so long story short, you know, I wish I could tell a miracle of healing like Marina had to share. So Kenneth did eventually die. But my point is in this, is Lily was sold out to Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior, and that is the rock upon whom she stood. She's not going to get into false idol worship or anything like that, and she didn't. That took some boldness on her behalf. We should not have to apologize for preaching Jesus Christ, nor be ashamed of his name, ever. We stand our ground clearly. Acts 4:12, where I read, Peter said right there, salvation is found in no other name under heaven. For there is found in no one else. I mistyped it here in my notes. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. There's one. John 14:6, there's another. Timothy, 1 Timothy 2:5, what does it say? For there is one God. Why, if anybody could say that part of the statement, I've been told that countless times, certainly by Christians, okay, we worship the same God, all right. But by non-Christians, well, you know, there's just one God. There is one true God. There are many false gods. What did Timothy say to in here, for there, Paul said to Timothy, for there is one God, and then he narrows it down, and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. period. Makes it very clear. So let's go on. So he's preaching Jesus again. It's what he's doing. B, letter B. Who did they see? Those people, who did they see in Peter and John? The answer is Jesus. Pretty simple, right? They saw him shining through. Verse 13, Acts 4. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled and ordinary men. What that means is Peter and John, they were fishermen. They had not been to the school of the rabbis for all the training that the rabbis, the Pharisees, Sadducees, thought that you had to have. No, they were unschooled, ordinary men. They saw their courage, and they were astonished and took note that these men had been with Jesus. That's what people should be able to say about us. Not because we're anything great. I don't mean that at all. I mean, as we walk with the Lord, right? We sing that, how's that hymn? As we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word. Da-da-da-da. Can't think of the rest of it. Trust and obey is the hymn, right? They should see Jesus in our lives like these religious leaders did. They're getting called to account. Okay, I see, just noticed I missed some blanks. So if you're all wondering, you didn't tell us those blanks, right? Let's back up a little bit. The results of this preaching of Peter in Acts chapter 2, we saw it, there were 3,000 people that came to know the Lord after that sermon. When we come to Acts chapter 4 and verse 4, this second sermon of Peter, it says now that number had grown to 5,000. Wow, there are things happening there. But guess who didn't like it? The religious leaders who should have been thrilled. They should have been thrilled. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing with them, there was nothing they could say. Isn't that something? They don't care about the miracle that just happened. All they care about is their religious system they had going to control all the people of Israel. Which they were living in deception the whole time. Bondage, putting the people in bondage. See, they saw in Peter and John, they saw a difference in those guys. There is something different about these two men. And people should see that in us. I was just visiting with someone this week, won't say, not from our church. And she was sharing with me about a very difficult time in her life years back. And she, I can't remember the name of the course that she took, but it was to do with Jesus and how He changes lives. Anyway, and she took that. It was several months long because she was in a very low and dark place in her life. And at work, towards the end of these months of this class, first of all, one coworker came to her and said, there's something different about you. She's like, what do you mean? And she said, he said, I don't know. There is something different about you over these last months. What are you doing? She said, all I can tell you is I'm taking this class on finding life in Jesus Christ. That's not the name of it. I'm taking this class, and that is the change. And then she said, would you be interested? Yeah. And so he did too. And then it spread from there, telling, preaching Jesus, because they saw the difference in these guys. Okay, if you read all through the book of Acts, you would find in chapter 17 when Paul and Silas come to Thessalonica, I love this verse. It says, these men who have turned the world upside down have come here too. Now they, the Thessalonians, the religious guys there, were thinking, saying that in a bad way. That's the effect they were having on their world at that time by preaching him. And so we do. Then, so what happens in verse 15 of Acts chapter 4? I call this executive session, right? If you've ever served on a board, sometimes, you know, you have to go into executive session. Verse 15, so they ordered Peter and John to withdraw from the Sanhedrin, and they conferred together. What are we going to do with these men? They asked. Everybody living in Jerusalem knows they have done an outstanding miracle, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, that was their only concern. How sad is that? We must warn these men to speak no longer to anyone in this name. Didn't care that this man had been crippled for 40 years from an infant, laid at the gate of that temple for how many of those years, up till 40 years of age. They didn't care at all about that man getting healed. See the deception, the bondage, the lies of that system. It's sad, very sad. No. You guys cannot preach anymore about Jesus Christ. And so, can the devil stop what God is doing? He cannot. Oh, he'll try. He'll try to get things stirred up. He'll try to get people stirred up and opposition and all that, but he cannot stop what God is doing. Letter C. How did they respond? What did Peter and John say in regard to the threats? We cannot stop speaking. Cannot. Cannot stop speaking. Verse 18. Then they called them in again. Okay, executive session's over. Come on back in here, guys. This is what we decided. Called them in and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, well, I guess we can't, can we? Is that what they said? It's not what they said. You judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. And there comes that time. There comes that time, even in our world today. Someone had called me the other night on TBN. There was a show going on, Pastors Under Fire, I think was what it was, Pastors Under Fire. And they were talking with pastors in California, one in Chicago. I saw one in Maine. I didn't get to see the whole thing, but those three I did. And we know the persecution that is coming, where they're shutting down those churches, violating our freedom of religion, using COVID as the reason, but yet these pastors that they had, I'm not saying this is for every case, but these three that were interviewed, one said, so we have this ministry of where we minister to the drug addicts, to all these different addicts, and they come in large numbers to the church. And that was okay to do. The state said, it's okay to do. But can people come on a Sunday morning together for worship? Oh, you can't do that. No. I forget. Oh, the other one was a church that had a large food pantry ministry. People by the hundreds, they had to come inside and however still to get the food. Yep, that's all okay. Can we gather for Sunday worship? Oh, you can't do that. No. And they've stood their ground. They're doing it. Having church, I'm talking. And they're in lawsuits too. There are times where we have to do that. You judge for yourselves, they said, whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. After further threats, they let them go. The miracle happened on this day. It was towards evening. They throw them in jail overnight because they didn't know what to do with them. So the next morning is when they bring them out and interrogate them, so to speak, and all this part. So now they're threatening them further. They could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. Praise the Lord. How could they be so bold? They were filled with the Holy Spirit of God. I said this a week or two ago. This is the same Peter that on the night from the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus being arrested through the night, he denies knowing Jesus three times. When a servant girl asked him, different ones, you're one of those that was with Jesus, aren't you? No, not me. Another one comes, oh, you're one of those. No, not me. Third time it says he swore. No, not me. I don't know him. And he looked at Jesus. Jesus was looking at him. Could you imagine being in that spot? And Peter went out and wept bitterly. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus was not ashamed or afraid to go to the cross in our place. Nor should we be ashamed or afraid to stand for his name and what he has done for us. Hebrews 12, in closing, says this, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, that's all of you, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the, anybody know what word's there? Shame. Despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so we think about all this as we come to the Lord's table. How amazing it is. And God, give us courage to stand for him. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for the cross. And even to say thank you seems so inadequate for what took place there. Lord, help us to live our lives for you. Give us the strength to do so. Help us to recognize when we have opportunities to tell others about you, Jesus, and to take advantage of those times. Give us the courage, the wisdom, the insight to do it. Fill us with the Holy Spirit of God afresh today. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The consistory, those that are helping with communion, if you want to come forward, we will have a prayer. If you want to put that on the screen, please, Caden. We know we are told in 1 Corinthians that we are to examine ourselves as we come to the Lord's table. Number one, that means, do I know Jesus as my Lord and Savior? That's number one. If you don't, call out to him right where you're seated. Call out to him. Secondly, it means, is there sin that I need to confess before the Lord? Then do that. Do that during this time. We ask him for forgiveness. So we examine our hearts during this time. When the consistory comes, I think Mark will be the one probably to usher the congregation forward. You can come whenever you're ready. So there'll be the two lines. You come down. I'll pray over the elements and all first. There's the bread is in a plastic cup. You take that first. The other cups, there's wine or juice. In the trays, the innermost ring, the inside ring, contains the juice. The other two rings contain the wine for whichever you prefer. Those are also plastic cups. So you take the bread, take the wine or juice. There's a trash can at the end, and just dispose of the cups in there. If there's someone who, if you don't feel comfortable walking up here for it, for whatever reason, you can stay and they will try to watch for who that is and to bring the elements to you. Okay? As far as the children, we always encourage them to wait until they've been confirmed. Let's pray this prayer together. It's on the screen. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of grace today so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. We come only through the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Your word says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." As we come before the table that you have prepared for us, we examine ourselves in the light of your word. We confess our sin before you and ask you to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We pray that you will fill us with your Spirit and anoint us with fresh oil today, so that we may go forth and boldly proclaim your name in this world. Help us to stand strong in you and in the power of your might. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to have a prayer over the elements here. And as I take the elements, then the consistory here will take them at that time too. And Mark, you can too if you want to step forward. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this very sacred time. As we think upon the cross, we sang that earlier. We think upon the price that you paid for our salvation. So incredible. Jesus, you being perfect, hanging on that cross, becoming sin, taking our sin upon yourself, taking the wrath of God upon yourself. What should have been ours, you hung there in our place so that we could receive salvation, so that we could become the righteousness of God in Christ, as your word says. So let these elements, this bread that represents your body, this wine, this juice that represents your blood, let them be sanctified for this time and this purpose, Lord God, we pray. And let our hearts and our minds be fixed upon you. And as we come down this aisle, Lord, we come with hearts of surrender. We humble ourselves under your mighty, mighty hand. And as we come, let your power be at work in each of our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. So the Apostle Paul said, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let's take the bread together. It says, "In the same manner, after supper, he also took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Take the cup. Amen. And families, as you're coming, if you want to bring your little ones with you, you're certainly welcome. Welcome to do that along the way. So we're going to sing a couple choruses. The first one is "Jesus Messiah as You're Coming." And then you return back to your seats. Now go ahead, Marina. Became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing, love so amazing. Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. His body the bread, his blood the wine, broken and poured out, all for love. The whole earth trembled, and the veil was torn. Love so amazing, love so amazing, Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. All our hope is in you. All our hope is in you. All the glory to you, God, the light of the world, Jesus Messiah. Name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all, the Lord of all, the Lord of all. The Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turned his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there, until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. Let's stand, please. Third verse. I will not boast in anything. No gifts, no power, no wisdom. But I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer. But this I know with all my heart. His wounds have paid my ransom. Thank you, Father. Our boasting is in you, Jesus, and in you alone, your death, your resurrection. Why should we gain from this your reward? We did nothing to deserve it. We know that full well. We cannot give an answer. But this we know with all of our hearts. Your wounds have paid our ransom. Thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. You can stay standing. We're going to sing this closing. It's just really a chorus. Thank you, Lord. Number 513. Receive the benediction. And now may the Lord go with you, and may He go ahead of you to guide you, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you His peace. Amen. And as a prayer for our nation, we will sing, God Bless America.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans, white with foam. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside and guide her through the night with the light from above.
from the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home. Amen. Thank you, Marina. You may be seated. Thanks, Marina, for the beautiful music, and we love the kids singing out. Have a wonderful day. Stay warm.